Martin. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn about high levels of vitamin C intake and how they can help the elderly maintain their immune cells from the Tokyo Metropolitan Institute of Gerontology. Also, we're going to learn about amaranth. That's a seed that is native to North America and how it can help cardiovascular health and diabetes. We're also going to learn about a new study on lutein and how it helps your eyes from University Eye Clinic in the Netherlands. We're also going to learn about how to kill candida and balance your gut flora, the good bacteria. Also today, I had someone ask me yesterday about AMPK, and it was after, actually it was 2 days ago, it was after a race I did, state championship. And a guy came over and he said, you know, I've been seeing you at these races for a long time. You don't seem to age. And I said, why should I? He said, well, we all age. I said, well, we all age, but how fast we age is determined by the choices we make starting early in life, even the choices our parents made. But even bad choices early in life can be corrected and we can still add years. I have yet to see a person in my life, if they were willing to make 100% change, nothing less, no compromises, no cheating, no, well, I like that, so I'm going to eat it or drink it, but do it right, that you couldn't add 10 quality years of life. I don't care if they're 90, you can get them to 100, but healthier than they were in the last 30 years. If they're 50, you can add 15 to 20 years onto their life. But I'm talking about quality years. So what I told this person about AMPK, the activator, I'll share with you. I don't know how many of you are aware of it, but it's important, and I'll deal with that, and I'll deal with vimpocetin because I had someone at the same race whose mother is suffering from dementia. And by the way, dementia is epidemic in the United States. The trouble is most people don't recognize it. I'll share that with you. We're also going to talk about the importance of women's issues today when my guest in the second part of our program is going to talk about thyroid conditions in women, Dr. Raphael Kelman. And he is board-certified internal medicine, and he works with holistic modalities. We'll discuss that. Now, time permitting, I'm going to talk about why some experts say pregnant women should reconsider many vaccinations from Natural Society, from our public health segment. Also, from our public health segment, Monsanto's glyphosate Roundup herbicide triggers autism in children. Who says that? An MIT scientist, a senior scientist at MIT, has declared that we are facing an epidemic of autism that may result in over half of all children being affected by autism in just 10 years from now. Dr. Stephanie Sinoff, I'll give you more on that. That's really important. I'm sure some of you heard me mention that now it's official government policy to reduce meat and increase vegetables and fruits. Something I might mention that Governor McGovern suggested when he was one of the overseers of that program at the USDA, the Department of Health and Human Services, a long time ago. But the special interest groups meet, and his chief of staff told me this. The heads of the dairy, egg, meat, and poultry industries didn't want that, and they used their lobbying skills to get those original very healthy guidelines eliminated, and everything stayed the same. So now we can expect big meat to unleash its lobbyist. I'm going to tell you in advance, starting probably next week, and for the next 3 months, you're going to see dietitians, medical doctors, nutritionists, all over the media talking about how irresponsible it is to be going through fad diets like vegetarianism. When Americans are healthy, they'll be lying, but these are the people who are paid to lie on behalf of the special interest. I'll give you the lowdown on that and how we intend to respond to them. From our environmental segment today, remember I was telling you about what happens to the water that melts in these thousands upon thousands of lakes each summer in Greenland. Now, some of these are deep lakes, like 70 meters. That's a deep lake. And then suddenly, it's gone. There's just gigantic crater. Well, two separate articles just published in peer-reviewed literature, one done from Ohio State University glaciologist, and the other done by a geologist from Cornell University, tell us what happened. So today, Greenland's hidden meltwater lakes store up trouble. I'll give you more on that, and that contributes to the idea I told you about the tipping point, where we're in chaos theory, where normally you could say, okay, well, so they'll lose 10 meters over the next 150 years. Who cares? Everybody will be dead. No, it could happen real quick, and I'll get to that. So that's what we have to share. I have a lot of social commentaries that I'll be sharing as well on upcoming programs, including tomorrow, what became of the economist and the American economy. We're told we're doing great. 18,000 new records on Wall Street. That's strange, because how do you have an economy that is thriving when real medium household income has not grown for years and is below the levels of the early 1970s. In fact, there's been no real growth in real estate sales for 6 years. How does an economy dependent on consumer demand grow when real consumer incomes and real retail sales are down? Not from business investment. Why invest when there is no sales growth? Industrial production, properly deflated, remains well below the pre-recession level. Not from construction, the real value of total construction put in place declined sharply from 2006 to 2011. So how in the world are we having people all over? The economists say, we're growing. We're not. I'll tell you the truth. Also tomorrow, geoengineering programs could be disastrous for the Earth's resources. An in-depth, comprehensive look at geoengineering on tomorrow's program. Also, how is it that we're having a war on terror, and yet the leading people in the world, in the entire world, are the Saudis? And they are the greatest sponsors of terrorism, and have been. So tomorrow, an in-depth report on the new Saudi king, Salman. He's been a huge backer of terrorism globally for decades. Not speculation, actual evidence. So he's our partner. So we're going after all these. And also why Hillary Clinton will be the next Democratic candidate for president, and why she is one of the most fierce, warmongering individuals in American history. Yet she's a darling of the left. So we'll go into that and show you what is wrong. We try to deal with all these issues. Today, we're beginning with health. In nature, it's interesting to watch how when animals, including birds, need certain types of bitters in order to expel parasites on a regular basis, that they'll only at that time eat for a day or two a lot of bitters. It's also interesting how much of the nutrients are absorbed and digested and utilized in the wild, and how, given their training, primates in particular know which things to eat to keep themselves healthy and live a long life. One of the things everyone needs, especially primates, is vitamin C, because we don't produce it as some creatures do in their liver through glucose metabolism. We have to get all of our vitamin C outside. The problem is we have no objective standard for how much vitamin C is the right amount of vitamin C. None. There is no standard that exists that is accurate. A person who is 18 and training for a sport, outside is going to need far more vitamin C than a person that is, let's say, not doing that training. A person that is sick will need more than one who doesn't. A person who has cancer may need 10 to 20 times more vitamin C on a daily basis. The older you get, the more vitamin C you need. It is one of the most important nutrients to slow down the aging process and to prevent many of the diseases that we call of aging. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you're getting vitamin C. Now, ideally, I suggest that you take vitamin C 6 times a day, starting before your workout in the morning. Why? Because it'll thin the blood. It protects you from oxidative stress. Therefore, it is one of the nutrients that may prevent a stroke or heart attack while you're actually exercising. 2, the moment you finish your exercise, you should take vitamin C. I would suggest you take vitamin C with 12 ounces of liquid, 6 of those ounces beet juice, 6 ounces of organic coconut water. But then there are other nutrients you should take as well. I'm just talking about vitamin C. Then after your lunch, before your dinner, before you go to bed at night, by taking vitamin C, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, magnesium, and hawthorn prior to going to sleep at night, as well as if your body can handle it, not everyone's can, but if you can, a cayenne pepper capsule, then you're going to thin your blood, protect your heart, and help prevent a heart attack or stroke at night. When a lot of people have heart attacks and strokes, is during the night. This is the latest in Tokyo Metropolitan Institute of Gerontology. And by the way, there are over 35,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature on vitamin C. Quote, long-term high-dose vitamin C supplements can help maintain immune functions in aging. The Japanese researcher supplemented the diet and found that the high dose, in this case, it was 200 milligrams per kilogram, which is 2.2 pounds per day for a year, published in the British Journal of Nutrition. And it made an enormous difference on the functioning of the immune cells. And so it also helps the thymus gland and the number of immune cells in the peripheral blood and the spleen and the thymus. The results showed that high vitamin C could inhibit the age-related decrease in the size of the thymus and maintain thymic output, meaning, in lay language, you have a stable immune cell count. And I'm not even talking about other studies that have shown that it enhances natural killer cell activity to prevent cancer. I'm talking about just the immune system. Quote, chronic involution of the thymus, meaning shrinking, is thought to be one of the major factors contributing to the decline of the immune function with increasing age. End quote. Now the thymus, if you don't remember this, it's a small gland. It's found at the base of the neck, and it grows until puberty, and after which it degenerates as part of the aging process. And it is the key site for the development and differentiation of T cells. That's a type of white blood cell, key to the immune system. Now, the T cell counts were significantly higher, which is good, in the vitamin C dose group when compared to the lower dose. So, one more reason to not look at these really unscientific, foolish milligram amounts we're supposed to take daily. They're way too low. Quote from the study, vitamin C contributes to the normal function of the immune system. Vitamin C contributes to maintaining the normal function even after intense physical exercise. One of the things that kept a lot of people who had full-blown AIDS and ARC-related conditions alive was intravenous vitamin C. In fact, at least 1,200 people were treated at the Tri-State Healing Center over a 7-year period using high-dose vitamin C. And when you look at how many people using the natural protocols are alive and well today versus how many use the protease inhibitors and AZT who are alive today, is like 100 to 1. 100 being the, or 99 to 1, 99 using alternative and holistic therapies. Now, amaranth seeds can help cardiovascular health and diabetes. And they help lower your cholesterol. They help manage diabetes. And this was just published in a good journal. Quote from the study. Amaranth grain is an alternative crop that possesses excellent nutritional and nutraceutical properties. The proteins from amaranth are excellent quality with a good balance of amino acids. It can be used as a functional food, where peptides derived from amaranth can be used as ingredients in functional foods to help to prevent the reduction of chronic diseases. End quote. Well, they've got a lot of good components. The researchers said the peptides from amaranth seeds, albumins and globulins, had ACE inhibitory activity. And just, I don't want to get scientific on this, but ACT inhibitors are medicines used to treat hypertension and congestive heart failure. And so similarly, scientists have also identified peptides associated with controlling blood glucose levels, or your sugar levels. And these peptides are inactive within the amaranth protein, but can be activated through our gastrointestinal enzymes in the human gut. So have a cup of amaranth if you have diabetes, and can help your blood sugar. A new study extends lutein's functional evidence. This is from the University Eye Clinic in the Netherlands. Quote, increased intake of lutein may not only have a direct beneficial role in the macula of the eye, but may also affect inflammation. Results of a one-year study indicated that 10 milligrams a day of lutein indicated that supplementation with the carotenoid significantly reduced levels of SC5B9, a marker of systemic inflammation, compared to a placebo. Quote from the study. This study is the first to show that an increased dietary intake of lutein reduces the plasma levels of this. So, you want to have healthier eyes? Want to have less likelihood of macular degeneration? And we all want that, then lutein. Just keep in mind that a thin macular pigment can allow the blue light through and destroy the cells. So maintaining high levels of both carotenoids, there's your vegetables, carrots, tomatoes, collard greens, kale, and therefore the macular pigment, and it's a valid approach to maintaining eye health. So for all those people throughout history who were interested in this, you know, eat your vegetables, eat your dark greens, eat your carrots, your beet tops, they were right. By the way, this isn't the first study. I remember back in the 90s, Dr. Joanna Sheldon and her co-workers at Harvard University, who found a link between the intake of carotenoid-rich foods, particularly dark green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale, and a significant reduction in AMD. So, it's just nice to know that it exists. One final study here. A lot of people have candida. Candida is a mess. It can cause infections. It causes really bad breath. Causes your whole body to smell. And it makes you far more susceptible to other infections. And when people have too much candida, or any type of fungal infection, the very first thing you've got to do, you've got to get rid of all processed sugars. Because that really feeds it. Alcohol feeds it. Wine feeds it. And any form of crust, muffins, bagels, donuts, toast, pizza crust, that all feeds candida. So get rid of that. Then I would suggest three things that are very important. No gluten. Gluten and candida go together. You want to be able to use black walnut hull, Spanish black radish, pa de arco, wormwood, ginger, olive leaf extract, garlic. Those are all good with vitamin C for bringing down the levels of the fungus in our body, candida. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. You, if you've just joined us, we know we should be eating our fruits and vegetables. Ideally, we should be eating them locally grown, organic, and a wide variety. Reality, people will go to the farmer's market or their co-op or their health food store, and they'll get themselves some vegetables and some fruits. But how many different ones do they have on a daily basis? Well, today we're only talking about fruits, and specifically the red fruits. Fruits like plums and blood oranges and raspberries and strawberries and pomegranate and cherries and pink peaches and pink grapefruits and all these other wonderful fruits, almost 20 different fruits. We get them, we wash them, we then press the juice out, and we end up with this wonderful, powerful, powerful powder. We call it red stuff. And it is the synergistic blend of all the top fruits that I could find that I believe will maximize benefit to us. So I put them all together. This way, yes, you should still be making every effort to eat quality food, locally grown, organic, in season, whenever possible. And then we meet the real world. People are rushed. People don't always have time to shop for what they need. And besides, how many fruits could you eat in a day? Could you eat how many apples? Well, I've got apples in here. How many plums? You can only eat so much. But also, when you juice it, what is 97-98% of juice is water. So you eliminate the water. And what are you left with? What is really important inside that fruit? The polyphenols, the quercetins, the proanthocyanidins. All of those wonderful phytonutrients, that's what you're left with. That's why green stuff and red stuff have been so popular for so long. It works. Now, what I don't do is I don't make claims about what it does. Other people do. Other people make all kinds of claims, whether it's backed by good science or not. I make no claims. Because I know that people are smart enough to know, if you're into the health field, you've heard enough studies on pomegranates, you've heard enough studies on red raspberries and strawberries. You know why these are good for you. But what's good is also, this only has like 40 calories, so it's great for diabetics and hypoglycemics and people who are pre-diabetic because you don't have all that sugar. And there's no added sugars. And it's just as good and as pure and as wholesome, as powerful, as nutritious as you could get. So for those of you who would like to get 20 different fruits in your body each day, or what is, in my opinion, the most important parts of those fruits, you can now with Red Stuff capsules. And these are the vegan capsules, which means you can take these anywhere with you. You just put a handful in your pocket, and throughout the day, you just take these. Now, here's the deal. And I've never, ever offered this deal before. Normally, a year's supply would cost you $600. That's correct, $600 for 12 bottles of the Red Stuff capsules. Today, you're going to get, or until supplies are exhausted, you're going to get a year's supply not at $600, $200. You heard me right, $200 for 12 bottles. That's it. Your turn. Give a call, 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. What is arguably the best discount on one of the most powerfully important, nutritionally dense products ever created. Straight from nature, red stuff. All those 20 different fruits, plus some lemons, limes, and grapefruits, are all in here. But the superstars, the cherries, the pomegranate, the raspberries, the strawberries, the plums, the oranges, the blood oranges, the red apple, it's all in here. Okay? You save $400. $400 savings. Normally $600, you're paying $200 for a year's supply. 12 bottles, can't buy less. 12 bottles, that's it. One-time offer, and it's over. So take advantage of the opportunity you're being given. It's only until supplies are exhausted. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. For those of you who are not aware of it, we are moving after nearly 20 years, our offices, from 83rd and Broadway in an old landmark building. What a wonderful experience. Having a big room that's over 2,000 square feet, the whole space is 6,000 square feet, but 2,000 square feet with the, it's almost 20-foot high ceilings because it was an old theater in 1910. And with all the Art Deco and, but time to move because the building has changed ownership and they have other plans. So we're moving into actually what I would consider nicer space for our needs. And we'll be in it completely. It's within about 6 weeks. And I'll invite people to have an opening day to come and see it because I'm planning on having a, like a little space set aside with a big screen TV where people can come and watch the films they want throughout the day. People have been doing that for almost 20 years, every day, from morning till night. And some of us work real late. There's still people downstairs watching films. Well, you'll be able to watch films. Plus, we'll have some nutritionists, board-certified nutritionists there that people can get counseling from. So it's going to have a lot more things there. But do not go to the old address because it's now closed. Now, for those of you who are used to going down and seeing Neil at the Closet, he has moved just up the street on Broadway to 89th and Broadway. So Neil is back. He is at the Closet at 89th and Broadway, more space than what he had, and he's there every day. If you ever want to get Neil at the Closet, 89th Broadway, you can call him at 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000. And our, for anything else, for any other questions, we have our staff in another temporary place, and our phone number is still the same, 646-926-5422. Now, let me take on one of the other issues that I think is important, and this is from Natural Society, and it deals with the vaccine issue. Oh, by the way, everywhere you look, the left, the corporate left, is attacking those who've challenged vaccines. When you have interviewed over 2,000 people, as I have, who have been injured or had a child injured from vaccines, and there's over 2 million parents, 2 million parents who've had those injuries, and you discredit them, and you give them no authority at all that they're right. Their children were normal, they got the vaccinations, and then they receded into autism or some other form of injury. When you see the nearly 200 parents who've lost a child died from Gardasil vaccine, and you say it couldn't have happened, couldn't have been the vaccine, when you see that the only cases of polio for decades were from the polio vaccine, when you see 60,000 children in given an experimental vaccine, polio vaccine in India, and come down with polio and paralysis, when you see that the one agency government says there's no harm to vaccines, and you see the other agency government giving out $3 billion in settlements, and that's not easy to collect, then you realize we have disconnect. So right now, whether it's Mother Jones or The Nation magazine or Bill Maher or MSNBC, and they have historically been right on a lot of issues, and I respect that. But on this issue, supporting Big Pharma, supporting the Paul Offits, supporting the pro-vaccine lobby, supporting the groups that got indemnification, meaning you cannot sue a vaccine company if they created a deadly vaccine, they're wrong on this. And we're going to be interviewing only scientists. And I could bring on parents of whose kids were completely normal teenagers, got the Gardasil vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, and died, or tens of thousands became injured. But I chose not to do that. Instead, I chose to have on toxicologist, immunologist, and ask them, tell me about this vaccine. Now, I've written several articles on the Gardasil vaccine, so I know the science behind it, or I should say the fact that there is no science behind it. It's all based upon fraudulent mathematical models. We're also going to have one of the lead scientists in the development, Dr. Diane Harper, you'll hear tonight as well. I want people, especially those who support these corporate liberal foundations and magazines, to share this truth with them, since they seem oblivious to it or don't want to know about it. Their sense of hubris is palpable. But we're talking about things that can really make a difference. 7 o'clock tonight. You won't want to miss it. Here's something else. Last week, immediately following the five-hour live special on vaccines, where we had dozens of leading scientists and physicians on talking about the lack of safety and efficacy in any vaccine, including pro-vaccine people, crashed our site. The entire Progressive Radio Network went off the air. They went into multiple encrypted sites and destroyed everything, including over 27,000 articles. Fortunately, they probably were not aware of this, we had another backup site with all of our archives. So our archives are protected. You can download any program we do. And we've rebuilt our site. In fact, the new site will launch, I believe, tomorrow. Now, why is this important to you? Because in the last week before that site crashed, do you have any idea how many people came to it? 27 million. I repeat, 27 million. Do you think that maybe they knew those numbers? And how many millions of people share information? Documentaries, articles. And if you looked at the articles we share, and I put these articles up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I put them up at midnight. I'm putting up articles in my spare time, like today. We have an article up here on grocery stores are running out of organic milk. 45% of Americans seek out organic foods. So that's something new. Also, deaths in the United States in the past 10 years due to measles. Zero. The source, the CDC. Deaths due to the measles vaccine. The vaccine, 108, and that's according to the government's own database. So you are safer getting measles than you are getting a vaccine. Why are we allowing this? Another article. We have the Daily Show gives Obama a makeover. We have the Greek deal, looking at the Greek economy in a different way. So we have hundreds of articles from progressive minds around the world every 24 hours. We have more than Al Jazeera, the BBC, and Huffington Post combined. But ours are not ever corporate liberal or corporate Democrat. They're meant to empower people. Maybe that's why we had 27 million people in a week. So we're rebuilding it. We already have brought in a whole group of researchers and editors, and we intend to have several thousand articles up tomorrow. So, yeah, they hit us for 1 week because of this, and we brought in some experts to make sure the new encryption, they won't break through. But now let's say hello to Dr. Raphael Kelman. Nice to have you with us today. Hi, Raphael.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good. I gave your bio a little earlier today.
Oh, great.
We're going to talk about thyroid conditions in women.
Yes.
Now, based upon the American Thyroid Association, almost 15% of the American population, about 25 million people, will come down with a thyroid condition, and it will affect women, but almost 800% more than men.
Yes.
That's about 1 in 8 women.
Right.
And it's also estimated that 60% of thyroid conditions go undetected.
Right.
Now, if caught early, thyroid conditions are easily managed. However, if allowed to prolong and go undetected, there can be serious complications. So this raises several major questions. Why is it more common with women than men? And what
right.
are some of the early immediate signs women should be aware of that might indicate that they have thyroid conditions?
Sure. Well, Gary, you know, these estimates are actually really low in number. It's really much higher than that because there's a great controversy about the routine thyroid blood testing and the reference range. You know, the reference range of thyroid hormone, including TSH from the pituitary gland, is very questionable. In fact, the American Association of Clinical Biochemists lowered the TSH reference range to 2.5. And, you know, most people now are looking at the TSH range from somewhere like 0.8 to 5. So if you change the reference range to really what is more consistent with the facts, is the numbers are much higher than what you just reported. That's one thing to take into account, the reference range and the difference between the population reference range and the individual reference range. Like, if the population reference range for TSH, let's say, is 1 to 5, well, what about you as a person? Maybe your ideal reference range is 0.8 to 1.5. And now, if it's 2.1, even though it's in the normal quote-unquote range, well, that's the population reference range. That's not addressing you. That's one thing to take into account. And then the other variable that we need to realize also is that many people are beginning to question the reference ranges completely, meaning that what's actually in the tissues or what's actually in cells in terms of thyroid hormone may not be reflected in the blood test at all. That means you really have to look either to better testing, which I do, called the TRH stimulation test, or you really have to treat beyond lab testing. You have to treat the patient, and the lab testing is not the biggest variable that you need to take into account to make an appropriate diagnosis. That being said, Gary, the epidemic of thyroid disease is mind-boggling. It is really an epidemic in our country, and it's an epidemic that's being missed by the testing that we believe should be picking up this problem. So it's an epidemic that's really being missed. Now the question is, why is it such an epidemic? And as you asked, why do women seem to be more vulnerable to hypothyroidism? And it's a good question. I think, for one, women are more likely to report their fatigue, to report conditions. They tend to go to doctors more frequently than men in the first place. That's one reason. I think the second reason is that estrogen and progesterone plays a role in thyroid function. And if there's an issue with your estrogen and progesterone levels, then you're more susceptible to thyroid dysfunction. So that's one reason. The reason why it's such an epidemic in general is because of environmental toxicities. The scientists call this endocrine disruptors. We are bathing in endocrine disruptors. We don't see them with our naked eye, but they exist nevertheless. And even at these so-called low levels, they can impact on our endocrine system, specifically the thyroid, because the thyroid is very vulnerable to these chemicals that are in the environment. For example, PCBs, dioxins, perchlorate, BPA, phthalates, fluoride, bromide, the list goes on of environmental toxins that we're exposed to on a daily basis. And you don't have to have such high numbers. You know, it doesn't have to be that the numbers are sky high for it to significantly affect us. The environmental toxins, endocrine disruptors, are absolutely affecting us, and specifically they're affecting the thyroid. Additionally, just like the outer ecology is now becoming more and more dysfunctional, so too the inner ecology, which is the gut bacteria called the microbiome, that plays a significant role in our overall health, including endocrine function, including immunological function. And if these friendly bacteria, what we call the microbiome, has been affected from chemicals in the foods we're eating, genetically modified foods, pesticides and chemicals in the foods that we're eating, if it's affected because of the overuse and the indiscriminate use of antibiotics, the inner ecology, the gut microbiome, will be affected. And that is a big problem that we're experiencing today, and another major cause of autoimmune disorders, inflammatory disorders, and hence another cause of the epidemic of hypothyroidism.
Thank you. I appreciate that
answer.
What are the most common thyroid conditions women suffer from, and why do thyroid conditions frequently occur during menopausal stages?
Good question. I think, let's just first talk about the symptoms. And by the way, you know, the thyroid produces hormones that affect every cell in our body. They look at the thyroid hormone as gasoline that every cell needs. And it, for every cell, every organ can potentially be affected. Therefore, it can, numerous symptoms can result, can ensue if the thyroid is low. For example, if it's there's low hormone in the brain, so your memory might not be as good as it used to be. There's some brain fog. You're forgetful. A little bit of depression, or a lot of depression, even anxiety, even difficulty sleeping. Insomnia is absolutely an effect of hypothyroidism. And who would think that someone who has a low thyroid that usually causes fatigue would also cause insomnia? Well, you need thyroid hormone in the brain to orchestrate this process called sleep. And if you're deficient in thyroid hormone, even though you're so tired because your thyroid is low, you may have difficulty falling asleep, or you may wake up in the middle of the night and you'll have insomnia. So anxiety, depression, forgetfulness, fatigue, muscle and joint pain, constipation. You know, constipation is not having a bowel movement every day, at least once a day. And that could be a result of low thyroid. A lot of people report they feel like they're aging more rapidly. That could be a sign of hypothyroidism. Cold intolerance, or your hands and feet feel cold, or you feel cold in general. Sometimes inability to sweat. Sometimes frequent infections. The list is quite extensive. Hair loss in women, irregular periods. These are some of the symptoms. Now, that being said...
Well, hold on. Those are just some. Here's the ones I'm faced with.
You have many more. Sure.
Thinning of the outer eyebrow.
That's right.
And men in particular, but women, you start seeing, there's no eyebrow.
Right.
Secondly, gaining weight without overeating.
That's the same amount of food, gaining weight. That's one of the biggest ones. Right.
Also, fatigue when waking in the morning, even after a full night's sleep.
That's right.
Mood swings.
Right.
Because this is also part of the axis of hormones in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, I find that it impacts them in their cognition and thinking.
That's right.
So those are some of the other ones that are important.
Right. You know, Gary, you know what's interesting? Even reflux. I could tell you how often I've treated patients with reflux. They've come to see me, and when you look a little bit deeper, they have an underactive thyroid. And when you improve the thyroid, the reflux gets better. The burning, the pain, the discomfort. Many of these people are on proton pump inhibitors, or they're not on proton pump inhibitors like Prilosec or Zantac, et cetera, but they're looking for an explanation. And frequently the explanation is hypothyroidism. Who would have figured? But yes, so many of our problems that we see as doctors, and so many problems that people are suffering with are actually due to, at least one of the significant causes, is hypothyroidism. So, for example, they found, and difficult sometimes to detect, they found in patients with gastritis and reflux that even though their thyroid hormones in the blood were normal, actually on biopsy of the esophagus, they found low levels of thyroid hormone. And I see the same effects in dementia and neurodegenerative disorders. My feeling is, based on the extensive testing that I'm doing, that I'm seeing signs that tissue levels and blood levels are not necessarily correlating with each other. In fact, tissue levels, like in the brain, could be very low. And I see this in neurodegenerative disorders. I see this in children with autism. That's why you have to go way beyond the routine testing, because as you were saying, the thyroid disease, hypothyroidism, can masquerade as so many problems. And yes, absolutely, weight gain is a big, big core effect of hypothyroidism. Difficulty losing weight, that no matter how much you do, how many diets you've tried, how few calories you eat, you still can't lose weight. Well, you have to really start thinking about hypothyroidism. To your question, Gary, why does it affect women more around menopause? Well, sometimes menopausal symptoms, what you think is menopause, is really not menopause, but it's really hypothyroidism that's masquerading as menopause. Or sometimes you could be perimenopausal around the time, you know, that your periods are declining. But really the problem is the thyroid is low, and many of the symptoms of menopause are just exacerbated.
So what would you suggest would be, in closing, please share with us the alternative healthy solutions, diet, supplements, herbs,
yes,
lifestyle changes for helping rebalance the thyroid?
Yes. Well, first and foremost, you have to heal the gut. You have to heal the microbiome. We have to take care of the inner ecology. And that means, you know, I wrote this book called The Microbiome Diet to bring out the importance and to raise the awareness about the inner ecology that's being affected too by our lifestyles, not just the outer ecology. And the two are in sync. If the outer ecology is being affected, so is the inner ecology. So we have to rethink the overuse of antibiotics. Proton pump inhibitors, while they're helpful perhaps short term, realize there are many natural alternatives to Prilosec and many of these medications. And frequently that affects the microbiome, and if the microbiome is affected, then you're more likely to have a thyroid problem. So we have to clean up our diet. We have to eat healthier foods, no processed foods, no trans fats, to eat more organic foods, say no to genetically modified foods, to take probiotics, prebiotics. I outline a lot of this in my book, The Microbiome Diet. And then, look, there are many different herbs that can improve thyroid function, like ashwagandha. You could use Gugulip. You can use selenium. Sometimes there's iodine deficiencies that we need to look into. Most important is accurate testing, and you can't always remember, you frequently can't rely on the routine test. So the message to so many people that I'm trying to get out is, if you're suffering from some of these symptoms, just because your doctor said your thyroid is normal, don't believe it. Your thyroid may actually be low and could be the cause of so many problems, including high cholesterol, including the reflux, including the depression, including the weight gain, including the fatigue. So thyroid has to be diagnosed the proper way, which means clinically, and blood testing could be used if you're using a wider net. Again, like I use the TRH stimulation test, which we've spoken about, and to do an expansive testing. Sometimes you have to use thyroid hormone, but it's important to realize that you want both hormones. Our thyroid makes T4 and T3. It makes 84, 85, 86% T4, 12 to 15 to 16% T3. Now, the common medicine doctors use for thyroid disease is Synthroid. That's only T4. For some reason, they never like T3. They claim, well, you know, it's the biologically active hormone, and if someone has an irregular rhythm of the heart and they're elderly, it could make it worse. Well, they also don't, they're not realizing that frequently the irregular rhythms that people have is because, especially in the younger population, meaning even in the 50s and 60s, it could be due to a deficiency in T3. I tell this to my patients that I see more frequently an improvement in an irregular rhythm with the use of T3, and I rarely see any problem at all if you use the T3 intelligently and you use the correct dose. So you need both T4 and T3. Synthroid only is T4. It also has all kinds of chemicals in there. You don't need to go down that road. You can use either Armour or NatureThyroid. That comes from an animal source. The ratio is a little bit off, so sometimes I like to add a little bit of pure T4, which we can get from a compounding pharmacy. So I think the type of treatment is also very, very important. Synthroid is not the drug of choice for hypothyroidism, even though it's probably the number one selling drug in the country. It's not the drug of choice. The drug of choice should be the combination of T4 and T3. And remember, if your doctor says to you that your thyroid, and you know, you're still tired and you have weight gain and constipation or depression, and they say to you your thyroid levels are normal, also think twice. It may not be normal. You can't rely on the routine test. So that's basically the approach that I use for the treatment of hypothyroidism.
Raphael Kelman, K-E-L-L-M-A-N, thank you very much. And his website is raphaelkelmanmd.com. His book, by the way, is Microbiome Diet, A Scientifically Proven Way to Restore Your Gut and Health. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for having me.
I'm Gary Noll. We're out of time. I want to thank you for listening.
I look forward to sharing more on the next program.
She musters up.